I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 1 this morning. And I would like us to read, beginning in verse 41, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. We find here the story of Jesus healing a leper and what it was that motivated him in his response. And that's really going to be the idea of the message. And that is what it was that moved Christ in his actions. We're reading in verse 40, and it says these words, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, or if you desire, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and he began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." On December 17th, 2017, my wife and I had taken a little short vacation down to the coast. And on that morning, it was a Sunday morning, we attended church in Charleston, South Carolina. After the service, we went out and got in my truck, and we were actually going to drive back to Greenville. And I checked my text messages, and I had received a message from a gentleman that was an evangelist, used to travel with us, Aaron Coffey. And this is what the text message said. It said, "Can you please pray? Matt Clemens just died in a car accident. Please pray for Carol Ann," that's his wife. "She and their son Asa are fine. They were not with him. She is lost and overwhelmed." Of course, reading the text, number one, I was shocked. And number two, almost instantaneously, I felt this overwhelming sense of compassion for the entire circumstance, especially Carol Ann, because both of them were students here. My first year as the president, they were married. I knew Matt. Matt was a piece of work. And he walked in a room, and as soon as he walked in the room, he lit it up. He was the center of attention. And I was a part of helping them get on the team traveling with Aaron. I was also the one who suggested that they keep traveling, and this was during their holidays, and of course he was tragically killed in an accident. But the point of the matter is that at that very moment, and almost the entire trip, there was just this overwhelming sense of feeling and emotion and compassion that I felt for them, their whole situation and circumstance. Now, stop right there. And whatever little bit of compassion you feel in your heart right now, hold that thought. Would you hold that thought? And let's take that emotion and transfer it back into the scriptures, where Mark tells us here of the response of Jesus when a leper comes to see him, kneels down, and begs Jesus to cleanse him from this awful disease. And the Bible makes a statement concerning the heart and the emotions of Jesus. It says that he was moved with compassion. So that feeling that you have, if you have any sense of that, this is what Jesus felt in its complete perfection when he saw this man in this state. And what was the result? Jesus put out his hand, he touched the man. And so, and it's important to note, it says he cleansed him. Whenever Jesus healed anybody in the Bible, it never says he cleansed them. It says he healed them. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. He healed the dead by raising them. He healed the deaf. But in this case, he cleansed the leper in such a way that the disease no longer existed. And here's what I want to talk about. I want us to consider this compelling attribute that Mark sets forth that stirred Jesus to action. And that is, he was moved with compassion. And what I want to do is to take that thought and to show you, hopefully, that this is one of the most important, essential, foundational elements, if you want to say it this way, of effective ministry. It is that when we serve, it's not perfunctory, but we are moved with and we live with this heart of compassion of those who we come in contact with. So I want us to look at three things this morning. The first thing I want to talk about is actually this emotion, compassion. Where does it come from? What is the, if I could say the point, what's the root of compassion? And the Greek word for the word compassion here actually has the idea of an emotional, something you feel emotionally in your stomach. Fact is, the Greek word, the idea behind the Greek way of thinking is that your stomach was the seat of your emotions. And we use terms like gut-wrenching or butterflies or people who get ulcers in their stomachs because of anxiety and worry and fear. Because the way we are created is you can't separate your body, the soma, from your emotions, the psyche. Have you ever heard of psychosomatic problems? Psycho is psyche, which is your soul, and soma, which is your body. We're all interconnected. And so what we see here is we see an emotion. And if I could say it this way, compassion means that you actually feel your way into people's needs. You identify with them. So where does compassion come from? And let me state it this way. It comes from seeing the sufferings and the misfortunes of others. You see them and you have the ability to understand them and you share with them in their emotional pain. You see their sufferings and their misfortunes. You understand them. That is, you're engaged mentally and you share in their emotional pain. And compassion is the way that Jesus consistently responded when he saw people's sufferings. So, for example, we read in Luke 7, verse 13, that when Jesus saw the widow and her son who had died, listen to what the scripture says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. We read in Mark 6 and verse 34, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he saw much people. It says he was moved with compassion towards them because they were sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. In other words, he saw them, he understood where they were, and he shared in their emotional struggle. Jesus tells us two stories that shows us the way compassion responds. We read in Luke 10 and verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. That was the man who was attacked by the robbers and left for dead. And it says, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So what is involved in compassion? It is seeing the sufferings of others, their misfortunes. We understand what's going on. You could even say we pay attention to them and we enter into their emotional pain. And then we read in Luke 15, 20 of the prodigal son and the way he responded, the father's response to the son. And it says, and he arose, Luke 15, 20, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. So what do we see here? Jesus is explaining how that he and others are moved by compassion when they see the sufferings and the misfortunes of others, but it is more than that. They actually understand. It is an engagement of the eye and the mind together in understanding. And this is exactly what Jesus did when he saw the leper. He was moved with compassion because not only did he see him in his suffering, but he had complete understanding of what was going on. Fact is, Jesus obviously understood the disease of leprosy. You see, leprosy had three elements to it. Number one, it was a skin disease. It was a physical problem. In the book of Leviticus, chapters 13 and 14, Moses writes about leprosy. Have you ever read those chapters? Usually you get the first five verses and you want to skip to chapter 15 because it's very repetitious. But in it, he is explaining leprosy as a skin disease. And primarily, the kind of leprosy that the Bible is speaking about here is a disease that is caused by slow-growing bacteria. People lose the ability to feel pain. It brings numbness to the extremities, toes, fingers, nose, eyes, and they begin to lose parts of their extremities due to repeated injuries or infection that is due to unnoticed wounds. So I don't know if you've ever seen a leper. I've seen lots of lepers in my travels. I remember many times being in India, sitting in a little vehicle. Oh, it's you guys from India, help me. What do you call it? Yeah, auto rickshaw. Yeah, it was auto rickshaw, a little three-wheeled thing that usually two Americans or 10 Indians sit in, however you want to look at it. Isn't that right there? Okay, I thought you'd agree with me, Samuel. And so I'm sitting in an auto rickshaw in Bangalore, and this hand comes into the rickshaw, and it's all bandaged up, and basically it was a beggar who was a leper. And you could see how the disease had affected him. I remember being in Africa and going into a hut in a village and sitting there, and there was a man with leprosy, and it had eaten a part of his nose. It was a terrible disease. And in this case, of course, this man who came to see Jesus in Luke 5:12 says the man was full of leprosy. So it wasn't just something on a couple of fingers, but it was something that had covered his entire body. So it was definitely a physical disease, but leprosy is also a social disease. And that is, according to the Old Testament law, it was very specific concerning a leper. Listen to Luke 13:45. It says, "A leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose." And let his head hang loose, that is his hair, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. This is what Leviticus says about him. So lepers were required to make an appearance as repulsive as possible in order to avoid contact with society. The purpose was to protect the health of the community from a contagious disease. We understand that. That's what we've done with COVID. However, the disease robbed the leper of any identity. It robbed him of his name. Why? Because you don't get his name. He's just a leper. It would have robbed him of his job, of his habits, of his family, of his fellowship, even of his worshiping community. Josephus, the famous Jewish historian, summarized the condition of a leper by saying they were treated as if they were, in effect, dead men. They were the original walking dead, literally. And everybody stayed away from them. So think about it. When you met a leper, you could see him physically. That's his soma. You could see him socially. That's his psuche, how it affected him psychologically. And then thirdly, leprosy was a spiritual disease. The reason we know that was anyone who came in contact with a leper would have been considered spiritually unclean. And therefore, a leper not only needed to be healed, he needed to be cleansed. Mark never uses the word healing for a leper. It's always cleansing. And this is why, of all the diseases, leprosy represented sin more than any other. So what is compassion? And we see it in the Lord. He was moved with compassion. It's something that you experience and something you feel based on what you see and what you understand. That's why you cannot have compassion if you don't think. If you don't take time to think about people and the situation they live in, then you're not going to be moved because you don't have understanding. You can't separate your feelings from your emotions. They all go together. And compassion is seeing the sufferings, the misfortunes of others, understanding their condition, sharing in their feelings, and then you try to do something about it. Compassion, therefore, is vital for effective ministry. Compassion moves us. And I think, of course, in our situation here at Bob Jones University, we have 2,500 students that come here, and everybody has a story. Everybody carries burdens. Everybody has problems. And therefore, it is of the essence that as we serve with compassion. I remember when I became a youth pastor working in Michigan from 1980 to 1985, I made a commitment to visit every single home of every single teenager twice a year. And the reason I did that was not because I am naturally compassionate. In fact, is after graduating from the Citadel, nobody's compassionate. You know, our favorite word, three words are suck it up, get over it. You know, you can make it. Don't quit. And those are important things. We need to be motivated. But I remember as a youth pastor struggling, being irritated with teenagers who maybe didn't pay attention or they didn't look all that sharp until I visited their home. And once I walked in their house, I thought, you know what? This kid is an amazing kid that he actually goes to church. He actually looks the way that he looks. He actually cares about what he cares about. And all of a sudden, when I began to understand them in a greater way, my whole heart capacity of compassion began to expand and began to grow. For most of us, it's easy for us to become perfunctory in ministry, and we just sort of do this as if we're doing ministry, when in reality, real ministry has to have compassion. It has to have a care. And by the way, that's why most of us have to suffer before we actually have compassion, because in suffering, we understand other people. My wife's cancer has allowed her to suffer, but it's also allowed me to suffer. So that when I meet a husband whose wife was just diagnosed with cancer, it's very easy for me to go up to them and speak directly to them and pray with them, simply because I understand better what they're going through. All of your sufferings are to be used for ministry, for you to have a greater sense of compassion, because you're able to comfort others with the comfort wherewith you have been comforted of God. So what is compassion? It is really coming to understand and see people and understand them and be able to help them. I heard the story of a well-known pastor who had a tremendous ministry in reaching people. And somebody asked him, what was the secret to his ministry? Why was it so effective? And he said, it's the moist spot in the corner of my eye. It is when he sees people, he is moved with compassion. And that leads me to the second thing, and that is, why are we unwilling to show compassion? And my second point is actually the risk of compassion. Notice what the scripture says. And there came this leper to Jesus, begging him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt. Remember, he bowed down right in front of him. He said, if you will, if you desire, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Now, the compassion that Jesus showed here in this text of scripture was actually in conflict with the social structure and the barriers of his day. This was really like way outside the norm. And what I want to say here is that compassion always is risky business. The leper coming to Jesus understates the highly provocative and offensive manner of this encounter. Remember, even in biblical times, lepers were to stay a distance from the crowd. If a leper came walking into the crowd, what do you think everybody else did? What do you think they did? You think if people get upset with people coughing around them, what about when a leper comes walking in? It's going to part like the Red Sea. This was incredibly offensive. For the leper to go to Jesus meant that not only did he break the social customs, but he actually broke the law of God. God told the leper to keep his distance. And furthermore, Jesus' response was no less scandalous than the leper's audacity. Think about it. What would a normal, observant Jew have done when he saw the leper coming towards him? He would have reacted to protect himself and defend himself, and he would have run away. But what did Jesus do? Obviously, you could say, as a human, he took the risk. Instead of turning from the leper, he turns to the leper. And he touches him. Now, normally, if you touch anything that's unclean, what would that make you? It would make you unclean. In this case, it was the opposite. Jesus touched the unclean, and he made the unclean clean. Jesus said, "I'm willing, be thou clean." And what do we see here in Jesus' actions? We actually see a true compassion ministry. He touched the untouchable. He reached out to the untouchable with the love of God. Compassion ministry risks reaching those who are at risk people, the unlovely. Compassion ministry embraces the contemptible elements of society with the gospel of God's love. I mean, who wants to have a ministry to lepers? But the history of Christianity has always been evangelizing the unclean, the untouchables, the at-risk. Compassion ministries embrace the very things that people would normally despise and reject. This is why compassion ministries, first of all, gets pushback in the church, because you don't want a bunch of unclean people coming here and messing up our clean church. But it's these kind of compassion ministries that are absolutely crucial if a church, or if we as believers, are going to be authentic Christians. Because we have to be like Jesus. We have to touch the unclean. By the way, just let me say this. College students are messy people. Not just physically, but emotionally and mentally. And I believe in standards and convictions, and I believe there ought to be appropriate discipline for things that are wrong. But if you take compassion out of all of that, we are done as a ministry. It is the moist spot in the corner of the eye that makes the difference. The touch of Jesus spoke more loudly than his words, and the words of Jesus touched the leper more deeply than any act of human love. What is your ministry of compassion? Who are the social outcasts that you are reaching and loving? I think one of the problems in any setting like this is we always have groups that we associate with. In high school, we call them cliques. We understand those. But real ministry, even in a Christian college as a student, is reaching out to other students that nobody's reaching out to. You don't know that they may be the next person that will come to Christ or the next person that God's going to use in a great way, and you reach out to them. What kind of ministry of compassion does your church have? When I started in the ministry in 1980, almost every church that I knew had a bus ministry. Do you know what a bus ministry was? And I worked in the bus ministry. At first, I didn't want to reach in it, work in it, because you're touching the unclean every single week. And I didn't want to do that because I would have rather done something that had a little more prestige to it, or however you want to look at it. You know, preaching behind the pulpit, not reaching dirty, snotty-nosed kids. And yet I realized, even in those days, God blessed those churches, because those churches had compassion ministries. And so there's a risk to this. And that leads me to my last point, and that is just simply, what is the result of this kind of compassion ministry? And there are two major results I want to focus on. The first result is this, that when there is a genuine compassion ministry, what ends up happening is that you actually start reaching people. People are being impacted because of your love. And let me put it this way. When you stop your compassion ministries, you lose the opportunity to see lepers cleansed and healed. I mean, we all think, you know, this guy was healed. How cool is that? But you don't get there if you don't get here. You don't see a leper cleansed if you don't show compassion on the leprosy. You don't get results if you don't take risks. And oftentimes the end result of not having these compassion ministries is you lose the opportunity to really see people's lives radically transformed by the power of God. How many amazing testimonies have we ever heard? And if you look at the people really carefully, they were at-risk type of people. Drug addicts, homeless people, people who have gone through all kinds of issues in their life, and God miraculously did something in their life. So that's the first result. But then there's something else here I want to finish with that I think that is worthy of taking notice. And that is, when Jesus told the man, after he was healed, he told him what to do. And that is, he charged the man to follow the rules of Moses for the ceremonial cleansing of the leper. He said, go see the priest. Now, we're not sure if he ever went to see the priest. In my reading of it, it doesn't look like he went to see him. Instead, what did he do? He went out and began to blaze abroad what had happened. He began to testify of the work of grace in his heart, what had happened to him. And what happened to Jesus? Let's look at the text, verse 45. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Now, there's something here that commentators will say about Mark's gospel. And that is, you have these insiders and you have these outsiders. For example, you have the disciples who were the insiders who are struggling to follow Jesus. And then you have these people who are outsiders like Zacchaeus and blind Bartimaeus, who are totally outside the inside group, but they got saved, and all of a sudden they became ardent followers of the Lord. So there's this irony going on, the insider-outsider. The insiders are reluctant to follow. The outsiders, man, they follow with all their heart immediately. So here is this outsider, this leper, in the first chapter of Mark's gospel, and he is cleansed. He is healed, and suddenly this guy that's outside comes to the inside. But then something happens to Jesus. And that is, obviously, Jesus was an insider, but suddenly he finds himself as an outsider. The scripture says he was without in desert places. And what we see here is we see the telegraphing of a message. Because what is the Gospel of Mark all about? It is that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. He came to be God's servant. And Isaiah calls him the suffering servant. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, and whom my soul delights. Isaiah 42, verse 1. And Jesus came to fulfill the role of the suffering servant prophesied in Isaiah. And how did he do that? Isaiah 53, verse 3, he came to bear our sicknesses and our diseases. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And the word grief there means sickness. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief, our sicknesses. He carried our sorrows. And what was the result of him bearing that those diseases in his own body? Isaiah 53:11, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Or the point of the matter is, what we see telegraphed here in the Gospel of Mark is the inevitable suffering servant going to the cross, taking our diseases, taking our sins upon himself, so that you and I could be healed by his stripes. And he became an outsider for the insiders, so that they might become an insider. And I think here's the point. That there are things about Jesus you really will not grasp, see, or understand if you're not a part of compassion ministry. Let me say it again and I'll be done. There are many things about Jesus that you will not really grasp and see and really comprehend. I mean, think about it. This whole message here is Christ and this leper and his compassion and what he did for him. And we see Jesus in this unique way. And you and I will never see Jesus unless there's some kind of compassion ministry that we are part of. And once you're a part of it, then you start getting it. I'll close with this. I've used this illustration a lot of times, and it goes back to the bus ministry. I didn't want to be involved in bus ministry. I just didn't want to do it. And I was working as an intern at the South Sheridan Baptist Church in Denver, Colorado. My pastor, Dr. Ed Nelson, had hired me on that summer. And one night after church, he came up to me and he said, "Steve, I want you to be a bus captain." I didn't want to be a bus captain. I fought against it in my heart. And so I did it. I did it reluctantly. Actually, I did it almost rebelliously, because whatever they told me the way to do it, I did it the opposite way. I said, "I'll do it my way." And so I went out and I began to visit and I went into smelly homes and, all kinds of things like that. And we started picking up kids on Sunday school buses in the Sunday morning. And I did, first 2 or 3 weeks, I just irritated me. And then I looked at church people who were nice and, nice and clean, and everybody looked so perfect going to church in their nice Sunday school dresses and getting their car and going out to their restaurants while I'm sitting on a hot, sweaty bus in the summertime and taking kids home. And I didn't get it. I wasn't getting anything until about the third or fourth week. And really, the Lord just smote my heart and said, "Steve, don't you get this? Don't you understand what's going on? That you're showing to these people the love of Jesus Christ. These kids." And I had like a couple little girls sitting next to me and one sitting on my lap. And whatever they were going to see about Jesus, they saw it in me. And I came under such conviction of the absence of compassion and love because I was not seeing and I was not understanding and I wasn't thinking. And God really convicted me and broke my heart. And so I found as the years have gone by that real effective ministry comes when people are moved with compassion, when they see the sufferings of others and they understand them and it moves them to action. So I hope here at the staff at Bob Jones University as a faculty or working on staff, that will be our heart with people. Doesn't mean that we're always easy and let people get away with things. That's not the point. The point of the matter is that people who have effective ministry are people who are moved with compassion. May we pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your compassion for us, seeing us in our need, seeing us in our lost state, and you came and you died for us. Lord, forgive us of our hard hearts, our self-centeredness, our seeing only ourselves and what we want, and help us, Lord, to be moved with compassion. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming. Have a great day.